Talk 105.9, the best of Roy Basnett.
Hello and welcome to this week's podcast from the Roy Basnett Show. Each week we will be bringing you some classic moments from our award-winning programme on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. Don't forget, if you want to hear the show live along with our latest guests and discussions, you can join me weekdays between 2 and 6am on City Talk across the North West and North Wales on 105.9 FM or DAB Digital Radio, or you can listen live online at citytalk.fm. This week we hear from Frank Ahern, the Eraser Man. He knows how to make people disappear off the face of the earth, not physically, but certainly as far as the authorities are concerned, so he claims. Have a listen to this.
City Talk 105.9, the best of Roy Basnett.
People wanted to get rid of their identity. I've mentioned earlier about the movie that Arnold Schwarzenegger made called Eraser. Is this the kind of activity that people actually get up to? They can erase people's identity?
Well, it's not so much erasing their identity. It's more so changing the information that's known about them. Because you really can't change your identity legally. So one of the keys is to just deviate the information known about you and pretty much change that up. That's really the key to do it. Because even if you change your identity, you could be out in a place and what happens is people recognize you.
So within the confines of the law, what kind of things can you offer? What services can you offer, Frank?
Well, pretty much what we do is we take what's known about you, okay, and we start searching that information out. Because one of the things is when somebody's looking for you, that's where they're looking to find the information about you. So we locate that information and we deviate it, be it, you know, contact numbers you may have on, like, phones or contact numbers you have, like, on your satellite or your cable TV. So we start changing and deviating the information where somebody will hunt you down. And we make sure that when they locate that information, we create some misinformation, disinformation, that it may look like that instead of being in, you know, Liverpool or London, that it looks like you may be in Dublin or something of that nature.
What kind of people do you help?
Oh, God, I'm helping a wider range of people, from women who are like victims of stalkers to celebrities who are looking to create some sort of insulation from the public to, you know, wealthy people who are just looking to go offshore and live a totally different life. Some people whose lives are in danger because they may have, wronged somebody along the way or, turned state evidence or testify against them. So it's really different people.
Are you like an independent kind of consultant on this, or would you be approached, for the sake of argument, if somebody was on the witness protection scheme and they needed to be, you know, protected, their identity, you know, throwing people off the trail? Is that the kind of involvement that you would have?
Well, I haven't worked with, like, the U.S. government as far as like that, but I've worked as far as, like, with the Canadian Witness Protection Program, you know, kind of just, you know, teaching them how to change some things about their program.
Okay.
So what happens, a lot of times people don't want to go into the program, so they will come to me directly.
So if it were me, I've given evidence against some nasty individuals and they've put a contract out on my head. I go to you, what would you do for me?
Well, the first thing is we got to say, where do you want to go and how are you going to make a living? Because those are like the two key factors, okay? And we basically pick you up and we start taking your information, and let's say you want to go to the Caribbean. We change our information where it looks like you're going to, like, New Zealand or Australia or something of that nature.
And how would you do that? How would you do that?
Well, pretty much we would have your mother or your sister start calling places in New Zealand or Australia. We have you start calling real estate agents there, other radio stations where people may think you're looking for a job. See, that's really the important key, is to throw the people off. So then what we do is we then set you up in a corporation where you can live virtual under a business name, your property, your utilities, your banking, use of like prepaid cell phones and prepaid credit calling cards, prepaid credit cards. So it's kind of like a pretty large process that takes place, especially when you're running from somebody who may kill you.
And do you have many people who have had death threats?
I would say it's a pretty even amount, especially when it comes to the women who are victims of stalkers. They're always very, like, volatile situations.
Right, I see. So what made you want to get into doing this kind of thing?
totally accidental. I mean, by nature, I'm a skip tracer who's been locating people for over 20 years.
Right.
And then I was in a bookstore, and I saw a guy buying books about offshore banking and privacy, but he paid with his credit card, which I thought was kind of ridiculous, you know, buying all this information about privacy. And I kind of approached him and said, you know, this is how somebody could find you through your credit cards. And it kind of just happened. It was nothing that I actually sought out to do. It just became.
Yeah, I see. So tell us about some of the people, without naming any names, tell us about some of the scary situations, or give us perhaps maybe a case book study of somebody who came to you whose life was in danger.
Well, I had this woman who was an attorney in Massachusetts. And what happened was she represented a guy who lost everything. And from the lawsuit that it was a losing case from the get-go. And he turned his vengeance onto her as if it was her fault. And he started, like, throwing, like, dead animals in her yard, dead chickens. And he started, like, planting, like, fake bombs in her mailbox. But she could never catch him, and law enforcement can never catch him. He was a pretty smart guy. But it kept escalating. What we had to do was pretty much take her out of her area and then move her to a whole new location where this guy could not locate her. Plus, I also worked with a woman, a young woman in Dublin, not Dublin, in London, who her boyfriend was one of these crazy football guys, and he was just escalating into total violence with her. And she ended up leaving him, and he ended up coming and getting her and dragging her back to where they lived and almost, like, made her, like, a prisoner of their own home. And I was able to pick her up, and what we did was we put her in a phony place where we know he would have showed up, and he broke into the phony apartment, sort of, and when he was there, we called the police and had him arrested. So it kind of, we created a situation where we knew that he would just go crazy, and he walked right into the trap. So a lot of times you have to be careful, because you never know how far people are going to go. So we're pretty cautious about that.
Right. You mentioned celebrities earlier, and obviously you just kind of alluded to one there. You said celebrities that need to be kind of insulated, protected. What kind of things can you do in that situation?
Well, one of the things with them is teaching them that, you know, they have to change their lifestyle, okay? I mean, you can't expect to be a big celebrity and go to, like, you know, all these fancy restaurants and show up in your Ferrari, you know, driving down the block and expect to have a certain amount of privacy. So what we do is we work with the celebrities who are kind of moving or making a transition in their life, and we set them up in their new location under corporations. We set them up where no stalker or crazy fan is going to find their cell phones or, you know, locate them via their electric company. But the biggest thing with them is just teaching them that, you know, you need to change your lifestyle. You can't go to that fancy restaurant where the paparazzi is showing up. So that's a large thing that we have to change with the celebrities.
So you're kind of educating them, really?
Yeah, a lot of them don't want to be educated because they think they can just live this really famous life, but expect people not to pierce their privacy.
Right, I see. So you mentioned earlier in this interview talking about that you can't change your identity because that's against the law. Is it not the case, though, for example, with the witness protection scheme, that the law can, well, obviously they can change your identity, so it's in special circumstances they can actually do that?
Oh, yeah, the law can give you a whole new identity, a new, you know, new bank account, everything you want. You know, they have the tools to do it, plus they have the laws behind them.
Sorry.
On the same time, you know, the problem with the witness protection programs is they just take people and they dump them in these locations, and they don't teach them how to make this transition, and they don't teach them. They just cut everything off, and they're expected to live these whole new lives without having, you know, certain socializing tools and how to move on with their life.
So, I mean, in terms of if somebody was a star witness against the mafia or an organized crime organization, something like that, and the police offered them the witness protection scheme, you would think on the face of it, yeah, you're pretty safe with that. But if you're saying that, hey, look, yeah, they will give you new identity and, you know, access to finance and that, but after that, you're on your own, are you not?
Exactly. That's one of the problems. They're on their own. They're living in the middle of nowhere, and they want to get in touch with their family. A lot of times they come out of it. Plus, you also take somebody who has a criminal lifestyle, and you put them in a place and expect them to live a non-criminal lifestyle. It doesn't always work. So there are some. But if you're the average Joe who's a bus driver, I mean, you pretty much can live whatever way you, you know, you can live a responsible lifestyle and, you know, make that transition.
Right, I see. So what about yourself? Have you ever been faced in a situation where you needed to protect your own identity?
No, but I live a pretty secure lifestyle where, you know, there's, you know, I have, the only way people can contact me is via my cell phone, which, you know, that's pretty much it. I guess I try to keep under the radar with my personal information. Yeah. But I've never really been in a situation where I've been in danger or anything of that nature.
Well, I suppose with the knowledge that you have, because somebody, if for example, somebody's going after one of your clients, they're going to be aware of the fact that you know where they are. So therefore, that could put you in a bit of a precarious position, could it not?
If they found out, but I don't think, you know, people realize that somebody's coming to me or that there's real, you know, I'm very cautious with that connection.
Yeah.
You know, when I start working with a client, we create these parameters of how they contact me, how they contact, I contact them. The only real initial contact that could be traced would be the emails that they make to me. But anything after that, they wouldn't really know about.
Yeah. It's City Talk 105.9. My guest on the phone this morning is Frank Ahern, a man who's charged with the responsibility of changing people's, not so much their identity, but throwing people off the scent who may well be pursuing his clients. It's an interesting thing that we're talking about, and we certainly appreciate you taking time to speak to us, Frank. Frank, tell us about some of the horror stories that people have come to you and have needed your services as a result.
Most of the horror stories would probably be the women who are victims of stalkers, because they range from these, you know, extreme situations to, like, mental torture to pretty much being followed night and day. You know, I worked with some clients who came home and there was a stalker sitting in their living room. And, you know, I know of a case where one of my associates worked where somebody actually sent them photos of them sitting on their couch. So they're never really the same. They're always like these very bizarre things where people have gotten dead animals in their mailboxes. They've just showed up at social events. And, you know, sometimes there's been physical beatings. So it's pretty scary when it comes to those situations. Hopefully what happens is a lot of times people come to me prior to it getting too extreme.
I see.
And that's always the goal.
Is it easy to make somebody disappear?
It depends on who you are, okay? And it depends on how much money you have and how you plan on living your lifestyle. The more money you have and the more known you are, it's more difficult. But you can take the average person, who takes somebody who's a house painter in Dublin, you can pick them up and move them to London or to Paris. They can become a house painter, you know, and work on the side and collecting cash, and you'll never find them.
Right.
As opposed to somebody who's got a lot of money and a lot of assets, they're more difficult to help.
I mean, would it be possible if, for the sake of argument, somebody like Tom Cruise wanted to disappear from the public eye, would that be possible to do, or in your estimation, impossible?
Well, the problem with that is, I mean, he can go off to like some deserted island somewhere, but the problem is how he looks. He's recognizable.
Yeah.
That's the downside to celebrities. Is that they're recognizable and they look wealthy. But some celebrities get away with, you know, living a more sedate lifestyle. They don't live in the public eye. You know, they live in, like, out-of-reach places.
Right.
But, you know, Tom Cruise, he's known everywhere from, you know, New York to Japan.
Have you ever had to do that yourself in terms of changing somebody's physical appearance so that they wouldn't be identified?
No, I've never really been in that situation. I mean, not everybody has the ability to do that. I mean, it's very expensive, and it's to a degree unrealistic.
Right. So in terms of, you know, we've been talking about stalkers, for example. I would imagine that some of these stalkers, yeah, they're cranks and stuff like that. You can say what you want about them. But they obviously have this kind of detective ability and that they can actually find the person that they're looking for. So I would imagine you probably, for the most part, when you talk about stalkers, you've got to work really hard to make sure that the trail goes cold when they go looking for the person they're looking for.
Yeah, that's really one of the things, especially when it comes to stalkers, because they're pretty much maniacal and they have a certain amount of intelligence where, not even the intelligence, but they have this drive where they just keep going and going and going. So a lot of times we'll have to create a scenario where they think they're getting close to the person, or they think they just missed the person. Because one of the things that I always say is important is, if you don't give them something to do, then they're going to spend their time actually locating you. So you got to give them something to do elsewhere. You got to give them that lead, or, you know, make they think you flew to like Chicago or you flew to like New Zealand. Because if not, they're just going to spend their time positively or in a positive direction locating you.
Right.
And the problem with stalking is you just don't know how it's going to turn out, and most stalkers don't stop. They just keep going.
When people retain your services, is it are you on like you say, look, you can have use of what we can offer for the next whatever predetermined amount of time, or are you constantly available to maintain, if you like, the anonymity of these people?
No, typically what happens is when I work with somebody, you know, we kind of sit down, we go over it, we make the game plan, you know, we get them from point A to point B, and then there's a certain amount of communication after the fact, but eventually it just kind of just, you know, they just end up going their own separate ways. Every once in a while somebody will contact me, just have a certain question, and I just pretty much answer it.
Mm, right. What about technology? Does technology play a part in what you do?
Technology is like a double-edged sword, because technology you can use, you know, to get away, you know, because, you know, you can do banking online, you can actually talk online with, like, something like Skype. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with it, but on the same token, the person who's hunting you down can use technology against you, because, I mean, you might show up at somebody's party and be on a guest list, and they could put that on their MySpace or their Facebook. So
yeah.
One of the problems is a lot of these social networking sites is other people are putting information up about you, and you have no control of that.
So that obviously makes your job very difficult. How do you combat that?
You just kind of, it's different for different people. You got to look into their lifestyle, and pretty much you create this profile of who they are. And typically my partner, Eileen, will start doing all the online research about them and start saying, hey, listen, there's this about them on MySpace or this about them on this website. We need to start changing that information.
Hmm.
I mean, if you look at the John Darwin case, the guy that, you know, committed the suicide there, I mean, he had a picture taken of him on a website. I mean, who would have expected that picture there, you know, from Panama? But those are the one things I call the fluke factor. It happens.
Right. I see. So if, for the sake of argument, Frank, and it's Frank Ahern we're talking to on City Talk this morning, the eraser man, if we had people who are listening, what about basic things that people could do without actually putting the phone up and engaging the services of somebody like yourself? What would you advise to people who have got a bit of a problem, a stalker, perhaps an ex-boyfriend that's, you know, can't let things go? What basic advice would you give to people in order to throw them off the scent and keep them away and out of your lives?
Well, there's two different things. When you're dealing with a stalker, it's a whole different world. You have to document everything that they do, okay? And what you have to do is start being aware of where you give your information out. You know, today in technology, people give their information out freely. You know, a credit card company will have you on the phone, and then they'll ask you for a contact number or a cell number.
Hmm.
And you have to. The most important thing you have to do is not give your information out, okay? And also, if you're facing a situation where it could turn into a stalking situation, or you feel like you're going to have to pick up and go, you want to create a little disinformation. You know, if you're living in a place like, you know, Liverpool or something like that, you want to start making calls, bogus calls, or you want to start creating the illusion that you're going to a different place.
Right.
But the most important thing I tell people is stop giving out the information.
Mm.
That's really the key.
And it's very easy to actually give that information out, because there are so many things in life where we are required, if you like, in order to kind of get further with organizations and stuff like that, to provide that information. Though that's the difficulty, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, every company you call where you utilize a service, they always want a contact number. Where do you work? Who, you know, who can we call in case of emergency? Or, you know, do we have your address correct? Or do we have your email correct? That's a big thing that's changed over the past few years, where there's all this collecting of information. And I think people are becoming tuned, like, oh, here's my email address, or here's my work number, or this is where I work. It's where we're not saying, hey, wait a second, you don't need this information. No need to ask me. I'm not giving it to you.
I use the term to describe you as Eraser Man based on the film that has Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I mean, is there anything within that movie that you could think, hey, you know what, that kind of thing does go on?
Well, I mean, it goes on in the real world, definitely. I mean, there's a whole culture of subculture of people who are changing their identities, who are, you know, reducing the information known about them, and who are also living a lifestyle where they're looking to go offshore, they're looking to offshore bank, they're looking to not change their identity, but erase a certain amount of information about them, no doubt.
Yeah. What about your success rate then, Frank? Are you 100% successful? People don't find your clients?
Yeah, from what I've known, we've been pretty successful. I mean, nobody's ended up dead, thank God.
Yeah, that's got to be good.
It's definitely a plus.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, I mean, I spent 20 years hunting people down, locating people, so I know what to look for, and I know how to manipulate things where somebody's going to find how somebody would find somebody under normal circumstances. I know how to change those things and make sure that they're going to go in a different direction.
Well, I suppose it goes without saying, in order to prevent being hunted, you would have needed to have been at some point the hunter, and that's what you did. What kind of people were you looking for when you were in those days?
My philosophy was, if you could afford it, I could find them. It ranged from, you know...
But does that statement, sure, not put at odds what you've said, that if you identify people and you're by the same token saying, I can find these people, does that not kind of cause a bit of a contradiction there?
Well, no. It's like, you know, whoever comes to my table first is my client. So if you come to my table and you want me to help you disappear, you're my client. Somebody's coming looking for you. And I was in a situation once where I did help somebody pick up and go because they were accused of stealing a lot of money, but they didn't do it. And the person who was looking for them actually hired me to locate them through another client, and I kind of just had to, like, throw it off and just kind of make myself unavailable.
Did you find that very interesting work, though, when you were actually pursuing people?
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. It was great. It was like, I mean, I worked from, like, whatever, you know, missing person cases to, you know, a missing kid to, you know, a deadbeat dad. I mean, it just was a big array of people. And, you know, once you find them, there's a certain amount of, like, rush to it. It's like a big high, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
A lot of adrenaline.
Yeah. Is there a website where people can find out more about the things that you do, Frank?
Disappear.info.
Well, that's an easy one to remember, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
And what's the long-term plan? I mean, you've searched people, and now you kind of hide people. Is there anything else on the agenda for you to do before time's up?
I would say eventually, like, end up in Paris and just wandering the street.
Well, you can do that quite easily.
Yeah, sure. Hopefully my book will be coming out soon. So,
What's the book going to be called, Frank?
Lying for a Living.
Listen, Frank, good luck with the book, and thanks for giving us a bit of an insight into what it's like if people do want to kind of go off the radar, so to speak.
Thank you very much.
And that's this week's podcast from The Roy Basnett Show on City Talk 105.9. Don't forget, you could join me live on the radio each weekday morning between 2 and 6 a.m. on City Talk across the Northwest and North Wales on 105.9 FM or DAB Digital Radio. And of course, you can listen live online at citytalk.fm. Don't forget, there are more podcasts available from our talk show hosts here at City Talk 105.9. Why not try downloading the Pete Price podcast, featuring some of the best guests and calls from his late night show? That's it for now. We'll catch you next week.
City Talk 105.9, the best of Roy Basnett.